Greetings, I'm Sue, and today is April 6, 2026. This is Tech Hour on the Talking Information Center. I'm going to be reading some tech information. The first article is JWST reveals a strange sulfur world unlike any planet we know. The source is the University of Oxford. A research team led by the University of Oxford has uncovered evidence for a previously unknown kind of planet beyond our solar system, one that locks away large quantities of sulfur deep inside a long-lasting ocean of molten rock. The results were published on March 16th in Nature Astronomy. The world, called L98-59D, an exoplanet, meaning it orbits a star outside our solar system, circles a small red star about 35 light years from planet Earth. Data from the James Webb Space Telescope, that's JWST, and ground-based observatories revealed something unusual. For a planet about 1.6 times the size of Earth, it has a surprisingly low density and an atmosphere rich in hydrogen sulfide. Until now, scientists would have grouped a planet like L98-59D into one of two categories. It could be a rocky gas dwarf with a hydrogen-dominated atmosphere, or a water-rich world covered by deep oceans and ice. New evidence shows it fits neither category. Instead, L98-59D appears to belong to a completely different class of planet dominated by heavy sulfur compounds. To understand this unusual world, researchers from the University of Oxford, the University of Groningen, the University of Leeds, and EHT Zurich used advanced computer simulations to trace its evolution from shortly after formation to today, spanning nearly 5 billion years. By combining telescope observations with detailed models of planetary interiors and atmospheres, they were able to infer what is happening deep inside the planet. Their findings suggest that L98-59D has a mantle made of molten silicate, similar to lava on Earth. Beneath its surface lies a vast magma ocean extending thousands of kilometers deep. This enormous reservoir allows the planet to trap large amounts of sulfur within its interior over long periods of time. The magma ocean also helps maintain a thick hydrogen-rich atmosphere that contains sulfur-bearing gases such as hydrogen sulfide, that's H2S. Normally, radiation from the host star would gradually strip these gases away into space through X-ray-driven processes. Over billions of years, ongoing chemical exchanges between the molten interior and the atmosphere have shaped the planet's current appearance. These interactions explain the unusual signals detected by telescopes. Researchers suggest that L98-59D may be the first identified example of a broader population of rich, gas-rich, sulfur-dominated planets that sustain long-lived magma oceans. If that is the case, it points to a much wider variety of planetary types across the galaxy than previously recognized. Lead author Dr. Harrison Nichols, Department of Physics, University of Oxford, said, quote, "This discovery suggests that the categories astronomers currently use to describe small planets might be too simple. While this molten planet is unlikely to support life, it reflects the wide diversity of the worlds which exist beyond the solar system. We may then ask, what other types of planets are waiting to be uncovered?" End quote. JWST observations from 2024 detected sulfur dioxide along with other sulfur gases high in the upper atmosphere of L98-59D. According to the team's models, these gases form when ultraviolet radiation from the host star, the red dwarf L98-59, drives chemical reactions. At the same time, the magma ocean below acts as a massive storage system for volatile materials, absorbing and releasing gases over billions of years after the planet formed. This combination of deep interior storage and ultraviolet-driven chemistry explains the planet's distinctive properties. Simulations indicate that L98-59D likely formed with a large supply of volatile material and may once have resembled a larger sub-Neptune type planet. Over time, it cooled, lost part of its atmosphere, and became smaller. Scientists note that magma oceans are thought to be the initial state of all rocky planets, including Earth and Mars. Studying these environments on distant worlds can provide insight into the earliest stages of our own planet's history. Co-author Professor Raymond Pierre Humbert, Department of Physics, University of Oxford, said, "What's exciting is that we can use computer models to uncover the hidden interior of a planet we will never visit. Although astronomers can only measure a planet's size, mass, and atmospheric composition from afar, this research shows it is possible to reconstruct the deep past of these alien worlds and discover types of planets with no equivalent in our own solar system." JWST is already delivering a growing stream of data, and future missions such as Ariel and Plato are expected to expand that data set even further. The research team plans to apply their models to these observations using machine learning to map the diversity of planets beyond our solar system and to link them to their early development. By doing so, scientists hope to better understand how planets form and evolve and to identify which types of worlds might be capable of supporting life. Dr. Richard Chatterjee, University of Leeds and University of Oxford, said, "Our computer models simulate various planetary processes, effectively enabling us to turn back the clock and understand how this unusual rocky exoplanet, L98-59d, evolved. Hydrogen sulfide gas, responsible for the smell of rotten eggs, appears to play a starring role there. But, as always, more observations are needed to understand this planet and others like it. Further investigations may yet show that rather pungent planets are surprisingly common." Next article. Scientists create clear nail polish that lets you use touchscreens with long nails. By the American Chemical Society. Anyone who has tried to use a smartphone or tablet with long nails knows it takes some adjustment. Instead of tapping naturally with your fingertips, you often have to angle your fingers awkwardly just to make contact with the screen. What if you could simply use your nails instead? Researchers are now working on a clear nail polish that could make that possible by turning long fingernails into touchscreen-compatible styluses. A team from Centenary College of Louisiana plans to present its findings at the spring meeting of the American Chemical Society, ACS. ACS Spring 2026 features nearly 11,000 presentations across a wide range of scientific fields. The project began when Manasi Desai, an undergraduate student interested in cosmetic chemistry, approached her research advisor, Joshua Lawrence, in search of a project. Lawrence, an organometallic chemist, says, "Chemists are here to solve problems and to try to make your world better." They started looking for an everyday issue that chemistry might help address. They soon noticed how difficult it can be for people with long nails to use smartphones, including a phlebotomist they encountered during a blood work appointment. When they asked whether a solution would be helpful, the response was enthusiastic. "Yes, please!" That moment inspired Desai's research direction. Most modern devices rely on capacitive touchscreens. These screens generate a small electric field across their surface. When a conductive material, such as a fingertip or even a drop of water, interacts with that field, it changes the screen's capacitance. The device detects that change and interprets it as a touch. However, non-conductive materials like fingernails or pencil erasers do not alter the electric field, so the screen does not respond. For nails to work, they must be able to carry a small electrical charge. Earlier attempts to solve this problem involved adding conductive materials such as carbon nanotubes or metallic particles to nail polish. While these approaches worked, they raised safety concerns because the materials can be dangerous if inhaled during manufacturing. They also produced dark or metallic finishes, limiting the range of cosmetic options. Desai and Lawrence aim to create a polish that remains clear while also being safe for both users and manufacturers. To find a formula that balanced clarity and conductivity, Desai tested many combinations through trial and error. she experimented with 13 commercially available clear coats and more than 50 additives. Over time, she identified two promising ingredients, forms of taurine, an organic compound commonly sold as a dietary supplement, and ethanolamine, another simple organic molecule. Ethanolamine provided the desired conductivity and worked well within the polish, but it has some toxicity concerns. Modified taurine is non-toxic, but creates a slightly cloudy appearance. When used together, these ingredients produced a formula that allowed a smartphone to register a fingernail touch, marking an important early success. Our final clear polish could be put over any manicure or even bare nails, which could help people with calluses on their fingertips too. So it has both the cosmetic and lifestyle benefits, explains Desai. Unlike earlier approaches that relied on inherently conductive materials, the researchers found and believe their formula works through acid-based chemistry. This idea came from the strong performance of ethanolamine-based mixtures, which release protons that help move electrical charges. They propose that when the polish interacts with the touchscreen's electrical field, these proteins move between molecules. This creates a small change in capacitance, just enough for the device to detect a touch. Although the results so far are encouraging, the polish is not ready for commercial use. Even the best-performing ethanolamine-taurine formula does not work yet when it's consistently applied to nails. In addition, the ethanolamine evaporates too quickly, so the polish only remains effective for a few hours after application. The team also hopes to replace it with a fully non-toxic alternative. Despite these challenges, the researchers are now better able to understand how the formula works and continue to test new compounds to improve performance. We're doing the hard work of finding things that don't work, and eventually, if you do that long enough, you're going to find something that does, says Lawrence. The research was funded by the Centenary College of Louisiana, the Albert Sklar family, and the Sklar Chair in Chemistry. The team also submitted a provisional patent for this work. Next article. This tiny implant, smaller than a grain of salt, can read your brain. Source, Cornell University. Researchers at Cornell University, working with collaborators, have created an extremely small neural implant that can sit on a grain of salt. Despite its size, the device can wirelessly transmit brain activity data from a living animal for more than a year. The advance, reported in Nature Electronics, shows that microelectronic systems can operate on a remarkably small scale. This could open the door to new approaches in brain monitoring, bio-integrated sensors, and other medical and technological uses. The device is known as a microscale optoelectronic tetherless electrode, or MOT, M-O-T-E. Its development was led by Alyosha Molnar, a professor in the School of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Cornell, along with Sunwoo Lee, an assistant professor at Nanyang Technological University. Lee began working on the technology earlier as a postdoctoral researcher in Molnar's lab. The MOT operates using red and infrared laser beams that safely pass through brain tissue. It sends data back by emitting tiny pulses of infrared light that encode electrical signals from the brain. At the core of the device is a semiconductor diode made from aluminum gallium arsenide. This component captures incoming light to power the system and also emits light to transmit data. The implant also includes a low-noise amplifier and an optical encoder, both built with the same type of semiconductor technology used in everyday microchips. The device measures about 300 microns in length and 70 microns in width. As far as we know, this is the smallest neural implant that will measure electrical activity in the brain and then report it out wirelessly, Molnar said. By using pulse position modulation for the code, the same code in optical communications for satellites, for example, we can use very, very little power to communicate and still successfully get the data back out optically. According to Molnar, the materials used in the MOT could allow researchers to record brain activity during MRI scans, something that is largely not possible with current implants. The technology may also be adapted for other parts of the body, including the spinal cord, and could eventually be combined with future innovations such as optoelectronics embedded in artificial skull plates. Next article. Revisiting 1960s cartoon The Jetsons, Where's My Flying Car and 3-Hour Workday? By Nicole Wynn, source, The Wall Street Journal. I recently spent a weekend doing deep investigative research into future technologies. I binged The Jetsons in my sweatpants. For the uninitiated or forgetful, this space-age family sitcom features George and Jane Jetson living the American dream in an apartment in the sky with their two children, Judy and Elroy, dog Astro, and robot maid Rosie. The show is set in 2062, a century ahead from its original 1962 air date. It's full of fantastical inventions such as flying cars, dinner-generating machines, and canine treadmills, complete with fire hydrants. The upbeat vibe is markedly different from the apocalyptic, at times murderous sci-fi of today. The 1960s were full of optimism about what the 21st century would bring, and some of it actually has come true. While we've still got a few decades before the Jetsons family is meant to arrive, I dug into some of the show's technological hallmarks and determined how close we already are. Video calling. Absolutely. In lieu of a home phone, the Jetsons had a video phone. The show's creators couldn't fathom mobile devices, but they were spot on about video calling. Jane uses it to chat with her mother at least once an episode. They could even create deep fakes to stand in for them on camera. When George secretly attended a robot football game, his simulacrum told Jane he had to work late. Video calling has been around for decades, since at least 2003 when Skype came onto the scene. It exploded in 2020 when many people were forced to rely on Zoom and other platforms while stuck at home during the pandemic. Even while most people have been making their way back to the office, our desire to see remote colleagues, not just to hear their voices, persists. Soon, our conference room AV setup might even appear in 3D. Flying cars and travel tubes. Sort of. There isn't much walking in Orbit City. A conveyor belt brings George from bed to the bathroom. To get to and from his classroom, Elroy jets through a series of air tubes called the school homing network. When the wrong child shows up at the Jetsons' home, Jane sends him back with the push of a button. And they also use personal vehicles, the ones that typically fly. George aero commutes in a glass dome saucer that folds into a briefcase and still manages to get stuck in traffic. Each bubble car has a receiver to chat with other skydrivers. Here, in the actual future, we're still toting around on pavement-pounding automobiles. A version of flying cars, however, is very real. It's called an EVTOL, Electric Vertical Takeoff and Landing Vehicle. Fellow columnist Dan Neal tried one himself, the pivotable Blackfly, a solo-piloted aircraft free to operate in unrestricted airspace. An upgraded version, called the Helix, can be yours for $190,000. You don't even need a pilot's license. There are major caveats, at least for now. The Blackfly's range is just 20 minutes, and you can't fly over populated areas, so forget trying to speed through your morning commute. The vehicles are also restricted from flying at night or in bad weather. In Dan's words, the Blackfly itself cannot be but toy, and it's a glorious and wonderful toy. We might be closer to those air tubes. In fact, Elon Musk spent some time promoting his Hyperloop idea, a transit system that uses magnets and steel tubes for high-speed travel. Though it's still in its experimental phase, one stretch in Munich has already taken a human passenger for a ride. Push-button jobs. Almost. George works as a digital index operator at Spacely Space Sprockets for all approximately 3 hours a day, 3 days a week. As a button pusher, he makes enough to support a family of four, even though a majority of his day is spent with his feet up on his desk. The key detail? He oversees an automated machine. While companies are often increasing hours rather than dialing things back, we are entering an era of robot-driven work. With the latest artificial intelligence, a person can deploy a team of agents. It's so effective that many engineers haven't written code by hand in months. As AI takes over more jobs, could we be moving towards George's 9-hour work week? Silicon Valley's elite have discussed this very scenario in terms of a universal basic income as a way to distribute the wealth generated by artificial intelligence. Until then, we'll be working alongside AI, or training it to do our work. Space colonization. Nope. The Jetsons live in the sky above Earth on houses built on tall stilts. To avoid our planet's environmental inconveniences, the stilts can rise above any inclement weather. And space itself isn't out of reach. In a classic episode, Elroy goes to an asteroid on a school field trip. We haven't nailed interplanetary travel just yet. Tech titans are certainly trying. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon.com and owner of rocket ship maker Blue Origin, said millions of people will be living in space in the next couple of decades. Musk, the head of SpaceX, wrote that becoming multiplanetary is critical to ensuring the long-term survival of humanity and all life as we know it. Musk had preached of populating Mars, but now his focus has turned to a closer heavenly body, our moon. Meanwhile, an interplanetary space race between the U.S., China, Russia, the United Arab Emirates, and the European Space Agency is well underway. Robot maids. Not exactly. Rosie is more than a robot maid. She's got main character energy throughout the series as a football thrower for Elroy, a homework helper for Judy, and a dinner sous chef for Jane. She bakes a mean pineapple upside-down cake, and Jane got Rosie a discount because she's an older model. Today's humanoid bots can barely load a dishwasher. We don't have a do-it-all machine, but there are specialized droids that can take on specific duties. They can already vacuum and mop very well. A coming model can even climb stairs, cleaning each step as it ascends. Cities are already deploying fleets of robot trash scoopers, lawnmowers, and firefighters. You can't have your own Rosie today, but you might soon. The next few years will be about raising the first generation of in-home robots and letting them learn from your routine. Gadget-induced pain. Yes. Now for the show's biggest oversight. No touchscreens. There are a lot of visual displays, but they are primarily operated by dials, levers, and other physical controls. While the show might not have anticipated touchscreens, it nailed a key side effect of constant use of gadgets: repetitive motion injuries. Orbit City is full of buttons, and overworked fingers are a running gag in the show. Jane regularly does digit workouts and complains that her pointers are sore. Here in 2026, office workers often suffer from texting thumb after scrolling through endless feeds and tech neck after craning down to look at mobile devices. And don't get me started on my strained hand with carpal tunnel syndrome from all the clicking. 36 years and counting. We may not be living as exceptional a future as the Jetsons, but we've still got 3.5 decades to catch up. By then, I will be twice as old as I am now. I've already witnessed the dawn of high-speed internet, the iPhone, and generative AI. How many tech revolutions will we experience in another 36 years? By the time we hit the show's 2062 deadline, maybe we will finally live in space or make our current planet more habitable and make a comfortable living on a 9-hour work week. But knowing our luck, we'll be struggling with forgotten passwords from our smart toothbrushes and buggy firmware updates from our flying cars. Next article. Deepfake X-rays are so real, even doctors can't tell the difference. The source is the Radiological Society of North America. A new study published on March 24th in Radiology, the Journal of the Radiological Society of North America, RSNA, shows that both radiologists and multimodal large language models, LLMs, have difficulty telling real X-rays apart from artificial intelligence or AI-generated deepfake images. The findings raise concerns about the risks posed by synthetic medical images and highlight the need for better tools and training to help protect the accuracy of medical imaging and prepare healthcare professionals to recognize deepfakes. A deepfake is a photo, video, image, or audio file that appears authentic but has been created or altered using AI. Our study demonstrates that these deep fake X-rays are realistic enough to deceive radiologists, the most highly trained medical image specialists, even when they were aware that AI-generated images were present, said lead study author Mikhail Torjman, MD, postdoctoral fellow, Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, New York. This creates a high-stakes vulnerability for fraudulent litigation if, for example, a fabricated fracture could be indistinguishable from a real one. There is also a significant cybersecurity risk if hackers were to gain access to a hospital's network and inject synthetic images to manipulate patient diagnoses or cause widespread clinical chaos by undermining the fundamental reliability of the digital medical record. The research included 17 radiologists from 12 institutions across 6 countries, the United States, France, Germany, Turkey, United Kingdom, and the United Arab Emirates. Their experience ranged from beginners to specialists with up to 40 years in practice. In total, the study examined 264 x-rays, split evenly between real scans and AI-generated ones. Participants reviewed 2 separate image sets with no overlap. One set contained a mix of real images and ChatGPT-generated x-rays from different parts of the body. The second set focused on chest x-rays with half real and half created using RoteGen, an open-source generative AI diffusion model developed by Stanford Medicine researchers. When radiologists were not told that fake images were included, only 41% recognized that AI-generated x-rays are evaluated after evaluating their technical quality. Once they were informed that synthetic images were present, their average accuracy in distinguishing real from fake rose to 75%. Performance varied widely among individuals. Radiologists correctly identified between 58% and 92% of the ChatGPT-generated images. AI systems showed similar limitations. 4 multimodal LLMs, that's ChatGPT 4.0, OpenAI, and ChatGPT version 5, Gemini 2.5 Pro by Google, and Llama 4 Maverick by Meta, achieve accuracy rates ranging from 57% to 85%. Even ChatGPT version 4, which was used to generate the deepfake images, did not detect all of them, though it performed better than the other models. For the RoteGen-generated chest x-rays, radiologists achieved accuracy rates between 62% and 78%, while the AI models ranged from 52% to 89%. The study found no link between a radiologist's years of experience and their ability to identify fake x-rays. However, musculoskeletal radiologists performed significantly better than other subspecialists. Research identified several patterns that can appear in synthetic images. Deep fake medical images often look too perfect, Dr. Torjman said. Bones are overly smooth, spines unnaturally straight, lungs overly symmetrical, blood vessel patterns excessively uniform, and fractures appear unusually clean and consistent, often limited to one side of the bone. The results highlight serious risks if deepfake x-rays are misused. Fabricated images could be used in legal cases or inserted into hospital systems to influence diagnoses and to disrupt care. To reduce these threats, researchers recommend stronger digital protections. These include invisible watermarks embedded directly into images and cryptographic signatures linked to the technologist at the time of image capture, which can help verify authenticity. We are potentially only seeing the tip of the iceberg, Dr. Torjman said. The next logical step in this evolution is an AI generation of synthetic 3D images such as CT and MRI. Establishing educational datasets and detection tool now is critical. To support education and awareness, the researchers have released a curated deepfake dataset that includes interactive quizzes for training purposes. Next article. Kremlin enters the chat with Russia's new super app. The Kremlin has struggled for years to curb internet freedoms and curtail the reach of Western tech platforms that have amassed huge user bases inside Russia. A new Russian super app is now making that goal possible. Max is a messaging and e-commerce platform run by tech giant VK that is expanding to offer everything from taxi hailing services to electronic passport wallets modeled on China's WeChat. With full-throated government backing, Max is being pushed by pro-Kremlin celebrities as a safer equivalent to Telegram and WhatsApp, the popular messaging platforms now being throttled by Russian censors. Lauded as a paragon of digital import substitution plan that aims to swap out all Western apps with homegrown analogs, it follows a trend of Russian knockoffs, including a video hosting platform akin to YouTube and Russia's own version of Apple and Android app stores. But data privacy activists say that the unencrypted new app is the tip of the spear in a growing censorship apparatus that would allow the Kremlin to see and hear everything its citizens do online, read private messages, hoovering up personal data, and identifying which users of the app are using virtual private networks to circumvent government blocks. They warn that it is also accelerating a global splintering of the internet into disparate realms controlled by authoritarian states. These super apps that offer convenience are useful, but they're also Trojan horses, said Amy Webb, chief executive of the Future Today Institute. She said platforms such as Max and WeChat act as one-stop government surveillance tools carried in each citizen's pockets. I have no idea why anybody would voluntarily use it. Russians aren't exactly being given a choice. Every new smartphone bought in Russia must now come with Max preloaded, while Telegram and WhatsApp are being blocked. The Kremlin is also sporadically shutting off mobile internet access to test a so-called whitelist of state-approved websites and apps that include Max. VK says Max now has 100 million registered users, a figure that is impossible to verify. The app is being used to confirm the drinking age of users at supermarkets, book doctor's appointments, and enter museums. The country's top universities require it to access their Wi-Fi network. VK says Max will soon integrate so many services that it can stand in for the internet itself. The rise of Max is the culmination of a years-long tug-of-war between the Kremlin and foreign tech giants. The World Wide Web emerged just as the Soviet Union was collapsing. Russia sought to lure investment, taking advantage of a decade of relative freedom. Google executives toured Russian startups looking for acquisitions well into the 2000s. But the dalliance frayed after widespread anti-government protests in 2011 drew the Kremlin's attention to the reach of blogs and social media platforms that opposition leaders like Alexei Navalny used to rally supporters and expose corruption. When former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden fled to Russia in 2013 after leaking a trove of classified documents that shed light on the reach of the U.S. surveillance, Russian President Vladimir Putin called the internet a CIA project. He promised to protect Russians from the influence of Western tech. For everyone in the world, it was clear the Americans are very powerful when it comes to surveillance of digital communications, said Elena Epifanova, an expert on Russians' internet at the German Council of Foreign Relations. The Russians said, look, they're all spying on us, so we need our own infrastructure, our own internet. But Russia had in many ways missed the boat. Unlike China, it had failed to institute a sweeping censorship system when the internet was in its infancy. Russia's security services complained that citizens' data was being stored beyond their reach by companies based abroad. The Kremlin's initial efforts to replace foreign platforms with homegrown equivalents was ham-fisted. A Russian mobile operating system failed to get off the ground, as did a patriotic search engine that yielded only news items aligned with the government. A smartphone maker went bankrupt. It was Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022 that supercharged its efforts to plug the gaps in the descending digital Iron Curtain. Moscow quickly shut off access to platforms such as Facebook and Instagram. Russians moved to VPN services and flocked to the two remaining messaging apps providing broad access to independent news, Telegram and WhatsApp. What Russia didn't have at the time was a viable alternative, and that all changed in March of last year when VK announced the launch of Max. In a meeting with business leaders that month, Putin said foreign IT companies still operating in Russia must be squeezed out. "We need to strangle them," he said. His government began blocking WhatsApp and Telegram, citing their use by scammers and terrorists and alleging that they are violating Russian laws. That decision helped pave the way for Max. The app started being promoted on billboards, government websites, TV commercials, and by celebrities. Russian rapper Yegor Krid dialed a friend as he relaxed on a floating dinghy in a music clip we released last year. "Bro, imagine, Max works even at sea," he said. Influencer Artemy Lebedev praised Max for not permitting kokols, a slur for Ukrainians. The app's interface closely resembles Telegram, launched by Dubai-based Russian billionaire Pavel Durov, down to the font and the small icons displayed behind each post and message. Like WeChat, Max's developer said the app would soon add a payment system and integrate games, shopping, food delivery, and healthcare services. The dream is to create a sort of Big Brother app, without which a citizen cannot fully function as a citizen, said Lev Gershenson, the former head of a news Russian tech company, Yandex, who now runs a startup in Berlin. VK declined to comment. An email sent to the app's developers returned an automatic response with a download link for Max. But many Russians are nevertheless holding out, opposing a Max mandate in schools and state institutions and saying they don't trust the app to safeguard their privacy. At Tyumen University in Siberia, some 2,000 students signed a petition against a move to make the school's Wi-Fi accessible only through Max. One teacher in southern Russia said she tried refusing to use the app but has found it's impossible to coordinate students without it. "Class materials, homework assignments, everything is on Max now," she said. The teacher said that when Ukraine attacked her city with drones earlier one morning, parents were informed over Max that classes had been canceled for the day. The teacher had to personally call the parents who had refused to download the app. A worker at a non-governmental organization in Yekaterinburg said a debate among residents of her apartment block about migrating their chat group to Max grew heated when a majority opposed it for data privacy reasons. She said everyday issues, such as disputes over parking spaces, are still being discussed on a WhatsApp chat using a VPN. In rare criticism of the government from pro-Kremlin media, a Russian tabloid this week published an article criticizing state efforts to police the internet. "Either they see us as small children incapable of having things explained to them, or they believe such explanation is beneath them," it said. Business leaders have also privately complained that migrating all online services onto Max risks stifling innovation and limiting Russia's ability to compete with China and the U.S. It may set an example for other strongmen, too. Max is now available for download in dozens of countries allied with Moscow. Russia has chosen the sort of brute force, blunt instrument approach which may offer control that it seeks and ways to forcibly shut down communication, said Webb. "There's no way this doesn't hinder progress on 21st century technologies." Efforts to foist Max on people and ban alternatives have also provoked anger from Putin's key voter base, the frontline soldiers fighting his war in Ukraine, who use Telegram for crucial battlefield communication. One soldier invoked a Bible passage in a video message in February, warning of the consequences. "He who sows the wind shall reap the whirlwind," he said. Moscow has since granted soldiers a temporary waiver to continue using Telegram. Next article. Four apps that make traveling with disabilities easier. Sasha Blair Goldenson is on a tech-driven mission to help people with disabilities travel easier. Mr. Blair Goldenson, a software engineer at Google, was paralyzed from the chest down in 2009 when a 100-pound tree limb fell on him in Central Park. Since then, his perspective as a wheelchair user has inspired him to build out Google Maps accessibility features and to push for all-around inclusivity. "There's a huge swath of the population that isn't visible, not because we don't want to be out there in the community, but because out of sight, out of mind," said Mr. Blair Goldenson, who is now the disability inclusion feature lead at Google. According to the World Health Organization, an estimated 1.3 billion people, or 16% of the world's population, experiences significant disability. That's more than 70 million adults in the United States. Many of them rely on Google Maps features that show stair-free entrances and provide audio guidance to navigate streets and find places like restaurants, ATMs, and accessible transit stations. Mr. Blair Goldenson has helped oversee the introduction of wheelchair-accessible transit routes and, more recently, stair-free surface routes. Google Maps isn't the only mapping app for navigating accessibility when you get to an unfamiliar city. A AVIV Scout route customizes routes for people with limited mobility or vision, relying on user feedback and AI to account for factors like sidewalk width, steepness, surface composition, curb ramps, and landmarks. Here are three other tools that can ease the way for travelers with disabilities. Roll mobility. After Rachel Zeller became a wheelchair user in 2019 as a result of a spinal cord injury, going out to meet friends took strategy and research. She would call a restaurant to ask about accessibility, get verification, then arrive to find out, say, that the door wasn't wide enough or the tables were too close together, or there was carpeting, which can take more shoulder strength to wheel across. She joined a team creating Roll Mobility, a free app to address those critical details. When you're home, you have to have your go-to places. You know what to do to navigate that space when you get there, said Ms. Zeller. When you go somewhere new, it can feel like a guessing game to someone in a wheelchair whether they're able to get around a bar or a hotel. The Americans with Disabilities Act standards for accessible design establish basic requirements for accessibility, like entrance access and the path of travel to restrooms, but they still leave gaps. Many businesses were grandfathered in or were never forced to retrofit their spaces. The Roll Mobility app aims to help users navigate those types of spaces by offering crowdsourced details like table and bar heights and door weight. Heavier doors can be harder to open with limited mobility. Since the service began in 2023, more than 20,000 places in over 100 countries have been evaluated. Tools like ours, Ms. Zeller said, try to bridge the gap between a fully actualized ADA and today's reality. In the meantime, users say the app makes navigating easier. The app allows me to plan, said Chris Lane, a wheelchair user and former Miss Wheelchair Colorado. If I'm meeting friends, I can know ahead of time now how accessible the bathroom at a restaurant is and whether I and my mother, who uses a walker, can use it. Be My Eyes. 11 years since Hans Weiberg, who is blind, created Be My Eyes, the app has registered more than 10 million volunteers to help guide people who are blind or who have limited sight through everyday life. Collectively, the crew speaks 185 different languages. The site has nearly 1 million blind or low vision users. Here's how it works. Users who need help log on to the app any time of day, anywhere in the world, and they're connected with a volunteer who speaks their language. They then point a smartphone camera at their surroundings, and the volunteer provides a real-time description of what's happening and can engage in conversation. There's also an AI feature that allows the user to share a photograph, and a chatbot will describe what it sees. That means if you're traveling, you can get immediate personalized assistance navigating unfamiliar streets or get the lay of the land in a hotel room or restaurant. It's especially useful to have guidance in your own language when traveling abroad. Wheel the World. Standard travel agencies often overlook disabled travelers' specific needs, but services like Wheel the World, a web-based travel agency, offer traditional booking services as well as travel packages that can include accessible transportation, tour guides, and specialty equipment like amphibious wheelchairs and adaptive kayaks. More than 800 freelance mappers have gathered about 225 data points per hotel for more than 6,000 properties in 50-plus countries, with the majority in the United States, creating a vast database of important details like bed heights, door widths, bathroom accessibility, and dimensions. Users can match their needs with the hotel's features. Wheel the World marks a property with a verified badge based on standards that were created through interviews with more than 100 members of the disability community. If a user books a hotel that doesn't precisely match the online details, Wheel the World provides a refund. Accessibility is not one size fits all, said Arturo Guana, a co-founder of the service. Next article. Musk has a plan to make human labor obsolete. Billionaires are joining in. In the utopia proposed by Elon Musk, billions of robots perform all necessary work. A network of autonomous vehicles and humanoids fueled by solar energy provide boundless resources. Poverty is eliminated. Work is optional. And the richest person would become the first trillionaire in the process. While Musk has a well-documented penchant for overpromising, he has recast his companies to chase this future. He pivoted Tesla this year to prioritize building robots, phasing out car models, including its popular luxury sedan, to stand up a new production line of Optimus humanoids. Tesla has aggressively recruited workers from other parts of the tech industry, seizing on specific areas of expertise and development targets, such as mimicking the capabilities and range of motion of the human hand. Musk's rocket company, SpaceX, which is expected to debut on the stock market this year, acquired his artificial intelligence startup, xAI, which will build software with Tesla. The army of robots forms the basis of Tesla's push to build a world of amazing abundance, its new mission. Musk has company. At least three different firms have made new forays into advanced robotics this month, including Amazon, founded by Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, NVIDIA, and Adams, a new startup from Uber co-founder Travis Kalanick, whose mission reads, physical automation to transform industry and move the world. Figure, a leading robotics startup, put up a humanoid robot in the White House this week that walked the red carpet alongside First Lady Melania Trump. Musk is among a cohort of tech moguls that have seized on humanoid robots, which embody artificial intelligence in corporeal form, to massively transform labor-intensive work that cannot be performed solely by large language models. By applying the technology of the AI race to the physical world, they aim to unlock a new frontier of automation. With the AI boom transforming office jobs at warp speed, tech moguls see a massive opportunity in replacing manual labor, upending fields that have so far been left untouched. Robot armies would be expensive to build and maintain, but unlike people, the devices would not take a salary. That has tech firms and their investors seeing dollar signs. Physical AI is the largest total addressable market in mankind's history, said Shay Ballour, chief market strategist at Futurum, which provides market research and advisory services. I think Tesla is positioning themselves to be a massive winner. The tactic has led to a popular buzzword in Silicon Valley, physical AI. A NVIDIA news release this month used the term no fewer than 15 times. Physical AI has arrived. Every industrial company will become a robotics company, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang said in a statement in that release. In Washington and much of the country, however, the tech sector sudden emphasis on robotics is fueling concerns about whether it could wipe out vast swaths of an already devastated manufacturing sector, accelerating declines over the last half century as such work has been outsourced overseas. Tesla and Musk did not respond to a request for comment. Ideas like Musk's have come under scrutiny because of their potential to replace jobs. Senator Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, called on Bezos to testify before Congress about reported plans to raise $100 billion for a venture aimed at AI-based manufacturing. Who is putting the trillions of dollars into AI and robotics and research and development? Sanders said in an interview with the Post. It is the wealthiest people on earth. It is Mr. Musk, Mr. Bezos, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, Mr. Larry Ellison. Does anybody in their right mind think that these people are staying up nights and worrying about how this transformation is going to benefit ordinary people? Musk has been maneuvering in the robotics space for years, but only recently made it his auto company's key focus. John McNeil, former Tesla president who authored the book The Algorithm, which delves into Musk's management principles, said while he harbors sentimentality about Tesla's existing product line, Musk doesn't. He decides what are the two or three existential issues in the business. And so at Tesla right now, it's two forms of robotics, McNeil said. He does not have a loyalty to the past. While AI has spread into white-collar jobs such as software engineering, it has yet to meaningfully disrupt dominated by physical labor, where software and hardware must work together to perform complicated tasks. An analysis released by Anthropic this month confirmed areas where researchers have found that AI is augmenting or could eventually replace workers, largely in office or clerical work such as management, business and finance, math, architecture, and engineering. Also notable was what so far has been outside the capabilities of AI, largely swaths of the economy reliant on physical work, such as transportation, food service, construction, and agriculture. Many tasks remain beyond AI's reach, read the report from the company that makes the Claude chatbot. From physical agricultural work, like pruning trees and operating farm machinery, to legal tasks, like representing clients in court. But Dario Amodei, Anthropic CEO, wrote in a January essay that it's a mistake to believe physical work is safe from potential AI disruption. There's already machine automation in factories, he noted, and predicted far more will be done via machines in the future. Sufficiently powerful AI will be able to accelerate the development of robots and then control those robots in the physical world, Amodei wrote. Maxim Mazenkov, an economist at Anthropic and lead author of the analysis released this month, said AI is rapidly improving the functions that large language models are currently pointed. Right now, none of that happens in these physical tasks, Mazenkov said. But out of that reality, Musk and his boosters see a massive market opportunity that more than justifies Tesla's pivot. Musk argues that optimists will usher in a world of amazing abundance that will make everyone fantastically wealthy, though it's unclear how those gains will filter down to the masses. With the continued growth of AI and robotics, we are actually headed to a future of universal high income, he said on a Tesla's earnings call in January. Work will be optional in that tech-dominated future, Musk has said repeatedly as recently as this month. The company said it is racing to put the robot into high volume production. Optimus will be the biggest product ever made, the robot's X account said Tuesday. If you're great at AI, engineering, and manufacturing and want to build this, then join us. To Ballour, the market strategist, the benefits of the humanoids will be worth the short-term pain. But he did not sugarcoat what that might mean for Tesla shareholders and society at large. The company's traditional cash cow will suffer as the old business is shrinking away while the new business isn't large enough to fill the gap. Meanwhile, as AI sweeps into the rest of the economy, he said, job displacement is very real. There is going to be continuous job loss, he said. AI chatbots want your health records. Tread carefully. For the last few years, the tech industry has convinced people that their artificial intelligent chatbots get better the more data you feed them. The next step is for users to share their most sensitive information, their health records. What could go wrong? Microsoft this week unveiled a tool that will let users share records from multiple health providers with its chatbot Copilot. The records can then be combined with data gathered by a user's fitness device, such as an Apple Watch. After analyzing all the information, the chatbot will come up with a high-level overview of health issues for the user. Microsoft's announcement echoed moves by Amazon, OpenAI, and Anthropic, which began testing similar tools. Health AI, ChatGPT Health, and Claude for healthcare this year. By collecting health data and offering direct feedback, the companies whose AI chatbots have made headlines for contributing to some users' psychosis, isolation, and unhealthy habits are treading into risky territory. The New York Times has sued OpenAI and Microsoft, claiming copyright infringement of news content relating to AI systems. The two companies have denied the suit's claims. In interviews, physicians said there might be upsides to chatbot-assisted healthcare, like helping people gain insight into their health at a time when healthcare is becoming increasingly unaffordable. But sharing health records with tech companies creates a host of privacy risks. Like past technologies that made people overly anxious about their health, the chatbots could also lead to unnecessary trips to the doctor. Here's what you need to know. How would this work? On Microsoft's Copilot website and mobile app, users will be able to click on a health tab and create a profile by answering questions about their age and sex. From there, users can opt to share their health records and data from devices like an Apple Watch, Fitbit, or a sleep tracker. Users can then prod the chatbot with questions or symptoms by saying things like, "I haven't been sleeping well." The chatbot then analyzes the health records and wearable data to make observations such as sleep trends since a recent hospital visit. The chatbot can also come up with a bottom line summary of health issues to pay attention to, such as sleep deprivation, diabetes, and limited physical activity. Users will initially be able to try Copilot Health for free when it's released this year. Microsoft said it planned to charge a subscription fee to use the tool, but it did not share a price. What are the potential benefits? Medical records have been chaotic and cumbersome for some patients to navigate because the information can be scattered across various databases used by these health providers. Microsoft said a doctor would probably need hours to manually review all of a person's medical records and fitness device data to come up with a high-level overview on health. It said Copilot Health could do this in seconds. What are the risks? In recent years, cyber attacks have breached hospitals and healthcare systems. Putting healthcare records in a central place makes that information much more tempting to target for criminals. There's a pot of gold mine of high-value data that's in one location that people can get. Similarly, law enforcement agencies that want an individual's health records could go to Microsoft instead of multiple providers, said a data privacy lawyer for Electronic Frontier Foundation. A woman pursuing reproductive health care in a state with an abortion ban could be at a higher risk. Also, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, which strictly requires traditional health care providers to protect patient privacy, does not apply to tech companies offering chatbots. So these companies, which are not healthcare providers, even when they offer similar services, could do what they wish with healthcare records. Microsoft said people's data would be encrypted and would not be used to improve its AI or serve targeted ads. It also said that it gave law enforcement agencies access to customer data only in response to valid legal requests. Microsoft said Copilot Health is meant to help people understand their health and prepare for appointments, not to replace a doctor's expertise. So far, research suggests that chatbots are not yet ready for this responsibility. That's all the time that we have for today. I hope that you have enjoyed listening to the Tech Hour on the Talking Information Center.